Thank you, Brother Chairman. Vesper. Vesper is meditation. Vesper is quietness, taking thought. This evening's Vesper, we would like to consider the greatness of our Creator, His creative works, His law, and His thoughts. We'd now like to ask the choir to come forward and sing some. I think as you think, what we'd like for you to do is just meditate with us this evening. Just take time to be holy. And so we'd like the choir to come forward, and while they're singing this, you know, think of the blending of their voices. A voice that can be created like this. I think you'll appreciate it.
Thank you.
kind of pressures of life that we have today, stress, the Lord said, Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. God said he wouldn't keep the Laodicean church from the hour of temptation. We're in the midst of it. And I think we have to learn, some of us have to learn, all of us should learn, how to take quiet, how to take meditation, how to learn to draw ourselves away from the vicissitudes of life, and just relax in heart and mind. That's what we'd like to do tonight. And we'd just like to have a heart-to-heart meditation with you. Thoughts of prayer and thankfulness in the heart are very important to our Christian walk. I'm sure you've all had the experience of an adder-like trial. An adder-like trial is when it grabs you before you know it. And those kind of experiences, if our heart and our mind are tuned properly, we react in the proper way. But if our heart and mind is not tuned properly, then usually we react improperly. But I think we can train ourselves. We can train our minds to isolate ourselves and to meditate, even in performing rote tasks. I remember Brother Diaper. Brother Diaper was 19 years old when he got to truth. He couldn't read. Brother Diaper couldn't read when he got to truth. Sister Diaper had to teach him to read, and he never stopped reading. Every night he would read for hours. He went through volumes of church history. He went through the volumes. He was a walking encyclopedia. And he told me he would study at about 2, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, routinely, regularly, every day. But he had a mechanical job. He was on an assembly line. And it didn't take a lot of knowledge to do what he was doing, to perform his task. And so what he would do, while he was performing his task, he would sort out all of that knowledge that he got the night before. And he would file it in mental filing cabinets. And it didn't seem to matter what you wanted to ask him to look up in his files. He had it there, you know. He knew where to look in his mental file. And he could recall that information. But you see, he was doing a dual function. He was performing tasks that didn't require a lot of concentration. And I was blessed in that my secular work, I could lock the door and turn off the lights because I was working on a microscope. And they knew that when I was on the microscope, they weren't to bother me. So it was a blessed arrangement. But while I was working on the microscope, which was very tedious at times, I could also prepare my discourses. And I think we can also learn that even though we're surrounded, say we're in a crowd, and we don't have much interest in the crowd's focus, we can actually withdraw from that crowd, and we can be meditating with the Lord. And we can train our minds to do that. That's a blessed arrangement. I remember when I traveled a lot, if I was just weary and I wanted to rest and I wanted to meditate, I would stop into a cemetery. No one talked to me. And I could just meditate and relax. You know, we are living in a grand and an awful time, and I think we just have to learn to do that. I would like to now take your minds back. Take your minds back to when God was alone. And God had wisdom. God was there with wisdom. We're going to ask Brother Larry to read how the wise man in Proverbs 8 describes that wisdom.
Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is none froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I might cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. And when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not.
I often think of that time when God was alone with his only son. Then God had planned this eternal purpose in his son. And he created his son in a way that his son could carry out his plan even to the extent of the redemption of mankind without interfering with his free moral agency. But I think of when, think with me, when God was alone with the Logos. And they pushed back the walls of nothingness. And they created space. And they seeded space with the constellation of the heavens and man, and the universe came into existence. That was the beginning of time. Before the universe came into existence, they didn't need time. But when they created the precision of the universe, then they had to use time in order to maintain the order and periodicity. And the Epicureans and the Stoics on Mars Hill, when they made the monument to the unknown God, that was their thought, the Logos. The Logos means beauty, periodicity, intelligence, creation. That's where the word was coined. The universe is made up of a macrocosmos. We call it the macrocosmos. We use the telescope and we study the stars and the planets and all of the nebulae and all of those things that are out there. But since about 50 years ago, actually conceptualized in 1927, but never really efficiently manufactured until the late 40s. The electron microscope came into existence. And the electron microscope can take you into the micro world as far as you can go in the macro world. Let's turn now to Psalm 19. We'd like to read Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. What is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race? His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of the earth. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Yes, the heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. As we mentioned, we can now look into the heavens with a telescope and into another world with a microscope. It's interesting, I think, that God has placed us in the middle, in size, so that we can look at either end of the universe. If God had placed us on one end or the other, we could have only seen part of the universe. Man with the electron microscope can go 20 decimal places in that direction, and more than 20 decimal places in the macro world. Tonight we have some visuals that we'd like to convey to you. Not all the slides will, but we would like to convey to you some comparisons of the macro world and the micro world. So may we have the lights, please? This is the image of the what we understand to be the Pleiades, and we think, based on what God states to ask Job, canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades? We think that suggests the fact that this may be the habitation of God's throne. This is the Pleiades in the Taurus constellation. And this is Orion of the Pleiades. Remember that God asked Job in Job 38, canst thou loose the bands of Orion? We can't get into detail in all of these things, passageways in the pyramid, the air passageways in the pyramid, point to Orion of the Pleiades. Pardon? I can't hear. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, do you have a mic?
To the mic.
Okay, sorry. All right, thank you. I'm sorry. This is Orion of the Pleiades. And God asked Job, canst thou bind, loose the bands of Orion? In discussing this with Brother August Tornquist, and there is some construction in the pyramid now, in the air passageways of the Queen's and the King's Chamber, that are being investigated by a German research team, and they are building robots and running these robots up these air passages, and trying to determine. But they have determined thus far that in the Queen's air passage, there is a trap door. The robot could go no further. They're trying to build a robot now. They're going to the door. But directly above, directly in line with this trap door in the King's passage, air passage, is a niche. And if we follow astronomically or geometrically, these are in line with the bands of Orion. You remember that the Queen's air passageway was cut off. You remember that the Queen's air passageway was discovered in 1872. So it suggests, all the data so far suggests, and it's a weak suggestion at this point in time, that maybe when the church is complete, the bands of Orion will be loose. This is the Horsehead Nebulae. Horses represent what in scriptures? Doctrine. Now, this is just my own thought. Don't hold me to it. But, you know, I think that's maybe symbolic of the fact that the whole universe is based upon sound principle. This is the bridal veil. And my thought is, maybe this is our veil when the marriage of Christ is completed, the Christ. This is, I better give a note up. This is the Crab Nebulae, which exploded in 1054. The creative work is still continuing in the heavens. This is Saturn, the planet Saturn in our own planetary system. And these Saturn has these rings around it. The reason I'm showing you this picture is because, comparatively speaking, these are the rings around the alpha quartz molecule, the alpha quartz crystal, in hard coal. Now these rings are made by electrons. The Saturn rings, of course, the Saturn is viewed by light. This is viewed by electrons. An electron is 1/1800th the weight of a photon. This is in the micro world. It's a very similar relationship in distance from us. This is in the micro world, about the same distance from us as Saturn is in the macro world. This is the North American nebulae, and you notice they call it North American nebulae because it's shaped like the continent of North America. This is a storm over the Arctica, the Arctic part of America. This is what a hurricane looks like from the sky. And of course, this is the Earth, and this happens to be Asia here. This is Africa, and this part is Europe. Israel is right in this area. These are clouds that are lit up by the sun above. And what we're doing here is showing you the firmament, how the firmament looks from a distance. These are the kind of pictures that the astronauts are seeing. This is in the Sequoia Mountains. This is a part of the firmament. Look at the beauties of the firmament. Another part of the firmament, in the same mountain range. The trees, the clouds, the snow formation. Gorgeous beauty, isn't it? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showing his handiwork. This is the falls, the Sequoia Falls, in the Sequoia Park. This is in the winter in the mountains, and see the beauty. We see the beauty of the firmament here. All of these are designed to show you the beauty of the firmament and the life that's in this firmament. This is in Hawaii. Summer day in Hawaii. This is an iceberg in the Antarctic. And it's interesting in the Antarctic, the air is so much thinner and the photography is just absolutely gorgeous. These are penguins in the Antarctic snow also. These are all penguins. This is a flock of penguins in the Antarctica. These are grizzly bears in Alaska. Beautiful firmament. This is the bald eagle of Alaska. And all of this life, this is a tundra of Alaska. All of this life depends upon the sun, the energy from the sun. This is a giraffe in Africa. Animal life, vegetation, forest, the firmament shows his handiwork. These are beasts in the field of Africa. And also wild beasts on the sands of Africa. This is the Rosette Nebula. Notice the stars around the Rosette Nebula. Compare that picture with these clusters of virus. These are virus. And the size of these virus are about the same distance from us as far as size as we saw in the Rosetta Nebula. It sort of gives us an idea of the vastness of the universe, but also the precision. Also, the detailed structure. This is a picture that this artist, this is a virus, an artist's conception of a certain type of virus. The reason I kept this picture was because we were involved with, to some extent, with the Surveyor 3, when the Surveyor 3 was launched. And the Surveyor 3, in its construction, looked almost identical to this virus. And so it was out in space, you know, and this virus was inner space, but about the same distance. So I thought it was, I'm sorry I don't have a picture of the Surveyor 3 here with me. These are nerves. These are groups of nerves, and We have these in our body. One of the sisters had sciatic nerve pain last night. This is the this particular nerve is a node in this nerve. These nodes are what are called the nodes of Ranvier. Now, signals travel. Electrical signals pass through these nerves. It depends on the amount of calcium and potassium and so on in these nerves, which determines the speed of the signal and the amplitude. This is a single nerve. Now, when we establish a habit, this nerve, the signal, the information does not travel through the nerve anymore, but it skips across the nerve for the purpose of efficiency and speed. So if you decide to change your habit, it takes 10 seconds to reroute this signal back through the nerve again and start to train that nerve to respond differently. It takes 10 seconds. And that's why the adage, count to 10 before you speak. This is the insulation that are on the nerves to protect the nerves, just like we have insulation on wire. The interesting thing about this insulation is it will withstand up to 2,500 volts per square centimeter. This is a heart cell. One heart cell is prepared specially. It is a heart cell after heart attack. This heart cell came out of a test tube. We were able to create heart attack in a test tube. And we got one of the cells separated out, and this is what the cell looked like after special preparation. Normally, they are not of this type of pathology. But all of this is under the canopy of the sun, under the tabernacle of the sun, the dwelling place of the sun. And the sun, as you well know, the sun is the source of life for the earth. It's the sun that combines, the sunlight that combines with the vegetation, the chlorophyll in the vegetation that produces sugar. And sugar is the source of life. It's interesting that if you sum all of the protons in a molecule of sucrose that is the result of combination of light and chlorophyll, and you the number of photons resulting are 132. The number of protons resulting are 132. If you use 132 in studying the gematria of the scripture, which is the numerical value of each letter of the Greek and Hebrew, the resulting words are Jehovah our God, the Lord our righteousness. So we see that God, through the sun, provides the life for all of life on earth. We just gave you a brief overview. It's nothing compared to what is available. But we wanted you to get a feel for the fact that universal life is common, it's all one creator, and God has, this is just the beginning, this to be just the beginning, brethren, of an eternity of life. I have one more picture I'd like to show you. This is a picture of our blood. These are red blood cells as they flow through our body. And these are white blood cells. They're different kinds of white blood cells. Now inside, in the concavity, these are look like donuts. Red blood cells look like donuts. And down in the concavity of that donut, if we prepare the material properly, we see a whole matrix of microprocessors. And those microprocessors remember our childhood diseases. And when we're exposed to an invasive organism, these blood cells inform the immune system as to what kind of antigens to prepare to fight this disease. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what we're told in Leviticus 17:11. We think it's wonderful how God has, during this increase of knowledge, has demonstrated to us, and is still demonstrating to us, the vastness of the universe, the intricacies of the universe, and the intricacies of life itself. We like to meditate on these things, and tonight, we wanted you to get some feel for the finite and the infinite. However, there's a much grander creation than what you've seen on these slides. You know what that creation is. It's the new creation. And this new creation is being prepared, unseen and unknown, basically, to humanity. Except those who have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. The raw materials for this new creation include the fallen, imperfect flesh, the ministry of evil, and the wisdom and the holy power of God. Those are the raw materials for the new creation. We'd like to return now to Psalm 19:7-14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The additional raw materials for our creation are our thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Very, very important. That's why we should meditate. That's why we should consider. Consider the Lord. Consider his promises. Consider his providences. We had one of those this evening, a major one. We had no projector for the show. We were able to get one. We just assumed that the university would have projectors. And they do, but they're locked up on the weekend. So consequently, we were able to get a projector 20 minutes before showtime. All of those little things, all of those little things, they really test our faith, don't they? Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, brethren, we can think our way into the kingdom, but we also can think our way out of the kingdom. Our thoughts are that point. I'd like to read to you from some thoughts of Brother Barton. This is on page 380 of the Pilgrim Echoes. We are not to blame for our thoughts, but we are to blame for what we think. If a good thought comes to our mind, we are not to be commended. Perhaps God has put you in the way of getting that good thought. He has permitted the good lesson to come into our mind. Perhaps someone whom you were talking to suggested it. But you do deserve the approval of God if you think the thought. That is, planting it. So also with bad thoughts. We are not always to blame for bad thoughts. If someone puts a thought into my mind by a statement which he makes, I am not to blame. The remark of the other put it there, but I am to blame if I harbor it, if I welcome it, if I think the thought. We are not to feel discouraged if we have bad thoughts. We are not to feel overconfident if we have good thoughts. The question is, what are we doing with our thoughts? A bad man has good thoughts. A good man has bad thoughts. A man is bad when he entertains bad thoughts. A man is good when he entertains thoughts. I'm sorry. A bad man has good thoughts, and a good man has bad thoughts. A man is bad when he entertains bad thoughts, and a man is good when he entertains good thoughts rather than the bad ones. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore, the Apostle Paul states in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, think on these things. Meditate on these things with our thoughts, transforming ourselves into the image and likeness of our Master. The wisdom and power of our God will enable us to be an eternal member of God's new creation, who will throughout eternity bring praise and glory to his name. Ephesians 2:7. And we would like to close with the use of Brother Barton's poem entitled "The Praise Belongs to Him." I know if I am chosen to be joint heirship with my Lord, to reign with him in glory, to receive that great reward. If after all my weaknesses a crown for me he'll claim, I know that choice will surely bring great glory to God's name. If I had been more worthy and my stumblings had been few, when man gave God the glory, they'd have praised my virtue too. If I'd ne'er lost a battle or had never missed the mark, as they talked about his goodness, mine also they'd remark. But my being so deficient in thought and word and deed means he'll get all the glory. He deserves it all, indeed. When they see this weak mortal raised to such immortal heights, what praise will rise to him who in such nothingness delights? I know that when my Savior did return to heaven above and was crowned with wondrous glory, it did prove his Father's love. But thinking of Christ's merit in his sinless life of grace, 'twas no wonder that Jehovah chose him for such a place. With me, it is so different. I have not one thing to plead, that I should be more honored than another bruised reed. And truly, there's no reason to give me a mite of praise. To him belongs all glory for the joys which crown my days. If you knew all my failings and my blemishes so vile, and saw the loving patience my Father shows the while, 'twould amaze you beyond measure to think he could or would make me an able servant who should do his people good. But to him such praise is due because of what I am. Because of such a weakling, he has made a stronger man. Then what will be his glory when he's raised me higher still and crowned me with his choicest one, the top of Zion's hill? That all these years of striving find me so imperfect still does not speak much to my credit, nor give a happy thrill. Where I appear as worthy, 'tis because his grace is there, and in the praise I deserve no part, no share. I hate my faults and failings. I fight them day by day. But from self, with all its weaknesses, I cannot get away. Despite this fact, he uses me beyond his still more grace, and hosts will tell his glory who has found me poor. Found for me a place. We trust that the Lord will bless the words that have been spoken. We trust that maybe after considering these thoughts that you might increase your power of meditation and learn that under any circumstance, just relax. Let the Lord do his will. And just pray and meditate and watch for his guidance day by day. May the Lord bless you all in your consecration and your effort to serve Him.
Thank you, Brother Owen, for your words for us to consider, words to meditate upon, just to consider a little bit of God's plan, His depth, His broadness, the length of His greatness, of His power, His mercy for us. And during our quiet hours, these are some things that we can consider.